With the parameters of this discussion now set, I want to remind listeners that study of human history automatically requires us to remember that we are talking about human beings here and not about cardboard cutouts. The funny thing about human beings is that we do, as Milan Kundera once observed, at any moment have within ourselves 1,000 different desires, motivations, and feelings, and we are never quite sure which is the important one. Human beings are characterized by antinomy, by the tendency to think or believe one thing and to do another. In his book, The Great Game, The Myths and Reality of Espionage, Frederick P. Hitz wrote that the subject of espionage is itself endlessly fascinating because it deals with the rawest, most elemental side of human behavior. As such, I warn you that we will find spies to be especially elusive characters, slippery and virtually impossible to define. And if individual spies are so hard to pin down, so too can be the governments and agencies that employed them. As E.P. Thompson warned, it is, of course, a great mistake to assume that states have one single coherent policy. Apart from the confusions of competing interests within any state, it is a matter of policy in all states to keep open several options. Mendacity is of the essence of statesmanship, and every state must have a left hand and a right. Picking up on this very idea, British historian Richard Aldrich engaged the forces of what he called the invisible hand this way. The story of modern Secret Service offers us a clear warning. Governments are not only adept at hiding substantial secrets, they are quick to offer their own carefully packaged versions of the past. For example, by the end of July 1945, the leading lights of British intelligence were increasingly worried about the complexity of what they called the history problem. They were beginning to recognize the scale of the project before them. Large areas of the past would have to be controlled if important secret methods were to be protected and embarrassments avoided. It would need a concerted program for the management of history equivalent to a wartime deception operation itself. This is the stuff of which espionage history is made, which is the very reason that the first chief of counterintelligence of America's Central Intelligence Agency, James Jesus Angleton, chose a line from T.S. Eliot's epic poem, Gerontion, to describe intelligence work as none other than a wilderness of mirrors. In a wilderness of mirrors, wrote Eliot, what will the spider do? Suspend its operations? Will the weevil delay? Angleton wrote that the wilderness of mirrors consists of the myriad stratagems, deceptions, and all the other devices of disinformation that the Soviet Union and its coordinated intelligence services used to confuse and split the West, producing an ever-fluid landscape where fact and illusion merge. And that is the very essence of planned chaos, which we are asked here to order and elucidate.